This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The question I had for Bernie voters at the official Boston Bernie Sanders campaign watch party was, what do you think about Hillary Clinton? And really try to figure out, is it that you like Bernie a lot more, or is it that you have an active dislike for Hillary Clinton? Let's see what people said.
I don't like Hillary Clinton. I don't think she's trustworthy. I just don't think she's real or authentic in any way.
For me, at first, before Bernie Sanders was in this race, Hillary Clinton was my choice. But for me, Hillary Clinton has had ties too close to Wall Street. Her vote in Iraq was a very big blemish on her career, as well as not saying anything to do with the Trans-Pacific Pipe, or no, the TPP, the trade deal, up until it was politically viable for her to be opposed to it.
I used to be a big supporter of Hillary, and then I did my research, and I don't feel like she's to be trusted.
There's just so much about her that just really irks me. From her constant flip-flopping to her massive support for Wall Street, corporate America. She was for the TPP. Now she's saying she's against the TPP because she's running. She was a moderate in 2008. She got beat by Barack Obama. And now she's a progressive because Bernie Sanders is doing great as a progressive.
The money that ended up saving the auto industry. Oh. I think that is a pretty big difference.
Well, if you are talking about the Wall Street bailout, where some of your friends destroyed this economy,
you know.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Let him run.
If you're going to talk, tell the whole story, Senator.
Let me tell my story, you tell yours.
I will.
Your story is for voting for every disastrous trade agreement and voting for corporate America. Did I vote against the Wall Street bailout? When billionaires on Wall Street destroyed this economy, they went to Congress and they said, oh, please, we'll be good boys, bail us out. You know what I said? I said, let the billionaires themselves bail out Wall Street. Shouldn't be the middle class of this country.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait, can I finish? You'll have your turn. All right, but ultimate
vitamins.
Yes, I mean, who said that it could only be feisty on the Republican side, right, guys?
Yeah, it's good to actually see some fire come out of that side. Good to start to see that they're not so buddy buddy and everything. You know, from the beginning, it was the with the emails. Well, I'm not going to talk about the emails,
right? Exactly,
which is very buddy buddy polite thing to do. And for him to, you know, for now a little bit of fire to come out. That's interesting.
Well, you know, and this is the opportunity that the Republicans, I know some people are, you know, a little dismayed by the infighting that's going on, but, you know, this is what allows you to, you know, formulate your thinking and your talking points. When you have that contention, you refine each other's talking points so that you're, you know, make sure that you're, what you're communicating to the, you know, prospective voters is something that, you know, makes sense and connects. And in this case here, you only have two people, you know, going back and forth. And now Bernie's coming to the party, but you might say a little bit late because meanwhile, you know, when you count the delegates, you know, she's running away with it. I mean, what? How many delegates does she have now? Over 800 delegates, including the super delegates?
Super delegates.
I know, but even still, they all count. I mean, in the... when you add them up, I mean, it counts to victory.
It won't count until they actually lock in their vote to her, which won't happen until the convention.
Right.
So,
but still, it's going to be hard for Bernie to raise money because all the, you know, the money people are looking at it and going, well, hey, we just don't see a pathway. The math is not adding up. And, hey, we appreciate the fight, and you brought a little bit of color to the program. But, hey, it's time to move on here. What can I tell you? It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour, America. Stay with us. We've got more coming up.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, see what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us, joining the good fight to get this country back on track. Our next guest, I've been tracking down for a number of months, if not years. I've always have looked forward whenever I've gone to California. I said, I've got to get a hold of Gustavo Arellano. Gustavo has had a column in the Orange County Weekly for quite a while. And if I remember correctly, he's a professor there in Orange County, California as well. And his syndicated column is titled Ask a Mexican. And the reason it touched me, because I think there is so much about the culture and even within the culture itself that has been lost in translation as many of us have assimilated into the American way of life. Not that we look to let go of our Hispanic culture, but there are certain things that we don't quite understand. And I appreciate that Gustavo has been one to keep it to the forefront and kind of not only educate non-Hispanics, but Hispanics as well. Gustavo Arellano, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Hola, Bill.
Hola. Hey, I am so proud of the work that you've done, Gustavo. I want to be upfront about it. I am prejudiced. I'm prejudiced toward your effort because I think it goes a long way in educating Hispanics as well as non-Hispanics.
Yeah, the purpose of Ask a Mexican has always been to debunk and deconstruct it. Stereotypes and misconceptions that people have about Mexicans in a way that's funny, in a way that's also educational, and in a way that teaches everyone as many Spanish swear words as possible.
As if we don't learn those early enough, you know?
No.
Well, why is it that swear words are so easy to remember? It doesn't matter what language. You know, Japanese, Chinese, you get the most difficult word. You know, swear words, everybody remembers them for what is it about our minds that is so messed up, right?
It's easy. We like to know the forbidden things in life. But, you know, going back to the Garden of Eden, going for the forbidden apples, humans always like to know that which you're not supposed to learn, and the easiest thing is the swear words in multiple languages. I mean, it's a childhood initiation rite, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Gustavo, you're a professor at Santa Ana College as well, is that correct?
Cal State Fullerton,
okay. So this is a class you teach as well, right?
Yeah, well, what I do, I teach different classes there. Sometimes it's history of Mexicans in Orange County, sometimes it's journalism. It's under the Department of Chicana and Chicano Studies. So I'm really the wild card in here. But, you know, it's sort of a reflection on my career doing not just Ask a Mexican, but a whole bunch of other things, really whatever I want.
Well, because you can. Why not?
I'm the boss.
And at the same time, at the same time, it's not only entertaining, but it's also enlightening because it brings to mind what this is all about in terms of a Mexican perspective. For example, let's talk about that 800,000-pound gorilla in the room, you know, immigration. You got Vicente Fox going, hey, look, we're going to have nothing to do with that, as he would say, effing wall.
Yeah. No, well, of course, I'm very biased on the situation because my dad came to this country in the trunk of a Chevy back in 1968, and that was one of at least, God, what, seven or eight times he came into this country illegally, every which way but loose. If he was Italian and back in the days of Staten Island, he would have swam from Sicily all the way to Ellis Island just to be able to make it to this country. But eventually my dad became an American citizen because of the amnesty of 1986 signed by President Reagan.
Exactly.
Approved by President Reagan. So, all that said, I know the true invasion of this country by the so-called Mexican hordes. And the invasion is just like the invasion of the past of Jewish immigrants and Italian immigrants and Irish immigrants and all that. These folks are just coming here for a better life because there was a better opportunity in this country. Now with jobs being where they are, you're actually seeing not as much migration. You're seeing the lowest amount of Mexican migration in generations. It's quite insane for me.
Well, and to your point, Gustavo, whether it was your father or anybody else for that matter, I mean, my grandparents came across the Texas border from Mexico, and they paid a penny back in, 1900, and they paid a penny for their citizenship. And, there goes the story. But my grandfather was a devout There's no turning away. He wanted nothing to do with America. He was happy to, provide for his family. But as soon as he could get back to Mexico many years later, he tore up his immigration papers, his citizenship papers right there at the border. He was happy to be a Mexican. He wanted to be in Mexico. And this is in spite of a government that came in and absconded with his property. I mean, they left him dead on two occasions. But he was a Mexican. That's what he wanted to do. My grandmother felt a little bit differently, but my grandfather, there was no way he wanted to be buried in America. He wanted to be buried in Mexico and rest in peace. That's where he's at. My grandmother, meanwhile, is buried in Camarillo, California. Lived to be almost 102 years old, Gustavo.
Wow. Yeah.
Rich history.
It's something about the Catholic countries that inspires the crazy nationalism. If you put Italy right next on, let's switch Italy with Mexico, I guarantee you it would be the same way, this ultra-nationalism. Look at the Irish. Look at the Poles, for that matter. You don't see as much, fresh to a lesser extent, the Catholic country, but not as much anymore. But, you don't see that as such ultra-nationalism as you do, at least historically, other non-Catholic countries. Catholicism just breeds fanaticism in you, for better or for worse.
Right. Well, Gustavo, with your article, Ask a Mexican, give me your top three questions that people want to know about, the Mexican way of life and perspective.
Sure. So number three is, why do so many Mexicans insert the name of your favorite classic or your favorite musical group? It could be, why do so many Mexicans like the Beatles? Why do so many Mexicans like Led Zeppelin? Why do so many Mexicans like Morrissey? Why do so many Mexicans like new wave music, like The Cure? It's as if readers cannot comprehend that Mexicans like music that doesn't involve tubas and trombones and big, huge drums and big hats. That's number three. Number two is a variant of that, which is, why does so much Mexican music sound like German oompa music or Slavic polkas? And the answer to that is simple. It's because the tuba music is called banda sinaloense, which is from the state of Sinaloa and the Pacific coastal state of Mexico. The accordion music, from Texas, it's basically conjunto, and that came because of Polish and Czech immigrants in the late 19th century that brought those traditions with them, and Mexicans just assimilated them. But the most asked question by far, and I think it's because Colum's based in California and in Orange County and the coast, is, why do so many Mexicans like to swim with their clothes on?
And the reason being?
Well, because we fight with the United States over the title of the fattest nation in the world. One year it's Mexico, another year it's the United States, but we flip-flop. So the year that U.S. is fattest, Mexico's number two. The year when Mexico's fattest, U.S. is number two. And the reason is because it's not a matter of Catholic shame. We love our fat death, Frank. We call them panzas. We love our panzas. But we don't want to disgust other people with our panzas. We have to be careful with them. So it's not modesty, it's good manners.
Yeah, it's just Mexican dignity, after all. Why not?
Exactly.
Well, Gustavo Arellano, thank you so much for coming on. Like I said, it's been a long time coming. You're always welcome here. I always, you know, want to be able to have you back on a regular basis, and I'll make sure we set something up. I appreciate you giving us some time. He's the editor of the OC Weekly and author of the syndicated column Ask a Mexican, Gustavo Arellano, on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Gustavo. Que te vaya bien. It's 14 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Do you run a business and would like to learn how you can get anywhere from 5,000 to 1 million in 60 seconds? Then let me explain. We're called Capify. We've been loaning and advancing money to businesses for the past 13 years. If your business does at least $120,000 a year, gross sales, we can get you more money to run your business. Our terms are simple. Repayment plans are flexible and based on your cash flow. Plus, the paperwork is minimal and the approval process is fast. So in the time you've listened to this commercial, you could have learned if you qualify to get up to $1 million in cold hard cash deposited in your business bank account in a few days based off your revenue. Call Capify now and get the money you need.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Nowadays, there are millions of people with old smartphones, iPads, tablets, you name it, just sitting around collecting dust. And if those are improperly disposed of, well, they contain unsafe toxic materials harmful to you and the environment. But now, these devices can be used as a painless way to help support your favorite GCN shows. Visit DonateMyCell.com. Donations are tax deductible, and if you donate 10 or more devices, you'll receive a special free gift offer. That's DonateMyCell.com. DonateMyCell.com.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
No, you're not alone. Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, not only online on your smartphone, your television set, we're around the world via shortwave as well. Over 270 markets across this country. Great to have you along with us, joining the good fun. This is Bill Martinez Live, 19 after the top of the hour. Our next guest, I am so excited to have David Kinnaman with us, is the president of the Barna Group. I have quoted the Barna Group so often over the years that it is an honor to have David on. First of all, to thank him and the organization for all the great work they do on behalf of, you know, churches around the country and around the world, and giving us cogent information that is important about what is happening with our faith. Now, David is a co-author of the book Good Faith, Being a Christian When Society Thinks You're Irrelevant and Extreme. David Kinnaman, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Hey, great to have you here. As I said, on many levels, first of all, I want to thank you for all the great work that Barna has done over the years. You know, the empirical evidence that you've supplied us with, because I try to get things out of the realm of opinion. I think opinion in the absence of fact has some validity, but if you're ruled only on opinion and you ignore the facts, then it makes the results of your choices a bit risky.
Yeah, thanks for saying it. I mean, it's a pleasure to be able to serve church leaders with this kind of information, and our idea is to try to provide good, solid, factual information so that Christians can make better decisions about their reality. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to do that. Sometimes it means we have to deliver some tough news about that reality, but it's a real pleasure, and thanks for acknowledging it.
Well, David, give us a good shot of what's happening, you know, kind of the state of affairs here, because what we heard in, probably about 8 months ago with a Gallup poll was society at large is saying, what happened to the church? How come the church is not speaking up against the immorality and the things that are so deficient in our society today? And I thought it was quite ironic, because it was the same society that told the church that you're irrelevant and they don't want you to participate.
Yeah, it's a real catch-22, because the culture is in desperate need of some sort of moral center. And people are very concerned across all faith groups about the moral condition of the country. But the degree to which the sort of Christian point of view is welcomed in our society today is increasingly, sidelined. And a lot of Christians are feeling pressured. They're feeling marginalized. They're feeling like the Christian way of life is sort of losing its traction in culture. And the facts bear that out.
Mm-hmm. But I think the opportunity for Christians is to kind of get their testimonies together. I think some people want to say that they're a Christian, but they don't have much of a testimony. And it rings rather hollow to people when there really isn't that substance and that belief. And I think some people are very very excited at first. They're kind of like that seed that hits the fallow ground that takes root real quick and sprouts real fast, but it really doesn't have enough root and substance to really substantiate their life-changing experience, as opposed to somebody who was understandably blind and suddenly they now see. It's like, being honest with themselves, they say, look, I don't quite understand this either. All it is that I don't want to go back to what I was, and I want to continue on this new journey as a result of having a confrontation with God. It's life-changing, and your opinion and your questioning of my faith is not going to alter my course.
Yeah, I think a lot of Christians could do well to develop a stronger way of talking about their faith, and that's part of the point behind this new project that we put together called Good Faith, was to help Christians have these difficult conversations, help share their faith story, how Jesus has changed their life, to be more confident about their beliefs, that their beliefs matter in the world. Even as society is beginning to describe us as irrelevant, as extremist, 60% of Americans say it is socially extreme to share your faith with somebody else. So you should try to keep your faith used to yourself. And yet that's, part of our mission, how to talk about our faith. And
exactly.
So, part of our effort was to try to encourage believers that, talking about your beliefs, you should be talking about your convictions, but we should also be led with our love for one another and for people that haven't found Jesus yet.
Well, David, it's also what I've found in talking to people is they want to connect with that which is real. sometimes when people, you know, well-meaning, you know, they're new Christians and they want to get caught in this Christianese and this Bible talk that's irrelevant. It just people can't relate to it. They just want somebody to be real with them, to be able to say, hey, look, at this is the way my life was. You know, I was a drug addict or I was this or that. You know, forget about all the Christianese stuff. It was just, hey, this was where I was at before. And then and Jesus found me. And my life is different as a result of that. And being that honest and forthright about it, I believe touches and connects with people. That brings a reality and a realness to it. It's not like all of a sudden I've got to introduce them to a whole new vernacular and language to get them to understand who Jesus is.
Exactly. And I think that's what today's, you know, people, you know, our society is looking for: normal, regular language. Millennials, as we study the next generation of teenagers and young adults, a phrase that's come to describe them is called millennials. You know, they're looking for faith that really matters, that can help them understand their workplace and sex and sexuality, issues of race. Our faith matters, you know, not only at a soul level, but also at a societal level. And we have to really help, you know, give people good language, good tools to have some of those difficult conversations and to, you know, help to advance what their faith, how their faith is relevant in those particular areas.
Exactly. Well, the current state of play for Christians trying to engage people in society, what are the trends and statistics telling us, David?
Well, essentially what's happening is, you know, in the past, Christianity was really viewed as irrelevant among the non-Christian segment. That is, that it wasn't that important and you could live a good life without Christianity. But what's really interesting in the last 10 years is the sense of extremism that, you know, if you're a person of faith, you're actually bad for society if you live your faith too publicly, if you believe certain things, if you, you know, live out faith with certain sort of devout point, the tension that a lot of Christians are feeling. They don't know how to respond to these things, whether it's questions about same-sex attraction and, you know, gay marriage, whether it's questions of race, whether it's questions of how to raise our children in this very complicated digital age with a lot of the power of the media. And so this is some of the current challenges that the Christian community is facing. And again, we're pretty sober, we're pretty realistic about those challenges in this new book, The Call of Good Faith, but we're also really encouraging and also, I think, try to be very hopeful that the Christian community can rise to those problems.
And David, I want to tell Christians that it's okay to say you don't know. You don't have to know everything, because sometimes that's when you get yourself in trouble, is when you think you know and you fall flat on your testimony.
Well, and another thing that's really important to remember is that even if someone asks you a question, you know, one of the things I've been learning as a professional questioner, I mean, I'm a researcher, so we're designing and writing surveys for tens of thousands of people all the time, is always to ask the question about, you know, what's underneath the surface. Ask that next question. So, you know, they may ask you a question. Someone in your life may have a question about what you believe or why you do certain things, or they may not even ask the question, but they're sort of begging to, they're really curious as to why you do certain things. And, you know, what I find is that people sometimes will ask a really tough question, but they're also something beneath the surface. There's some personal hurt that they've experienced. They've been let down by the church. They've been disillusioned. They're struggling with something. And so, not always just to come out, even, you know, to say, to, as you said, Bill, to admit that we don't know some things, but also to come back with a question like, well, why is that important to you? What's going on in your life that you want to know how I feel about this? You know, how can I be of support to you at this time? And often that question that we need to ask next is more important than just the, you know, answering, you know, just with a clear, solid, apologetic. We actually need to get to the heart of the matter of the reason why the person is asking the question in the first place.
Exactly. David, where can people go for more information?
Well, we've got this new book out called Good Faith, and goodfaithbook.org is the place you can find all sorts of information about it. You get a free audio version if you order it this week. You can also, you know, find out a lot more about the project and some of the research that went into it at goodfaithbook.org.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro1G 2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Well, I think that the people here in the region who knew about this and failed to follow what you just said rightly, the law required, have been eliminated from the EPA.
So far, one person has resigned.
Well, I don't know how high it goes. I would certainly be launching an investigation. I think there is one.
Right.
I was told that, you know, some of the higher-ups were pushing to get changes that were not happening. So I would have a full investigation, determine who knew what when. And, yes, people should be fired. How far up it went, I don't know. But as far as it goes, they should be relieved because they failed this city. But let me just add this, Anderson. This is not the only place where this kind of action is needed. We have a lot of communities right now in our country where the level of toxins in the water, including lead, are way above what anybody should tolerate. We have a higher rate of tested lead in people in Cleveland than in Flint. So I'm not satisfied with just doing everything we must do for Flint. I want to tackle this problem across the board. And if people know about it and they're not acting and they're in the government at any level, they should be forced to resign.
Senator Sanders, would a President Sanders fire the head of the EPA?
President Sanders would.
Well, we'll see what happens here. Dr. Tom Borelli is with us right now. And, of course, that was Hillary Clinton on the Flint water crisis. Dr. Borelli is a contributor with the Conservative Review, an authority on energy policy, crony capitalism. He frequently comments on political issues. from a conservative grassroots perspective. Tom, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
Always good to have you there. You know, we talked about this before, that the EPA's climate change agenda is what superseded the Flint water crisis, but Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders didn't want to go there, did they?
No, they certainly didn't want to go there, but I tell you, Bill, I was kind of shocked that Mrs. Clinton is willing to even consider firing the head of the EPA. I have to chuckle at that. That's almost unbelievable, but I'll take that one. If they would go that far, but I doubt it. See, the big problem here is, Bill and listeners, is that it's the massive growth of government leads to bureaucracies that are terribly inefficient. And this is exactly what's happening at the EPA and other bureaucracies throughout the federal government. So to disagree with Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Sanders, we need a smaller government, not a bigger government, and Flint is a perfect example of that.
Well, beyond being inefficient, Tom, it's just incompetent. I mean, there's got to be a cause and effect relationship. Nobody's talking about that. You know, the EPA continues to tie the hands of business and restrict people, and there's no accountability for the things that they've thrust upon. You know, in this case, you know, Flint, Michigan. I mean, you know, that to me, to try to talk that away for something that's been going on for a long time. If this just didn't happen yesterday.
Oh, not at all. In fact, the EPA knew like last year, and they didn't do anything. They think they knew last April that there was high levels of lead because they, one of their employees from Region 5 out of Chicago went there and actually tested the water in Flint, and they didn't declare an emergency until this January after it hit the media. So it is really gross incompetence, gross negligence, and this is what we're getting for our federal tax dollars.
And this is what progressives have brought to us, we the people. And, you know, that story is not being told because environmentalists need to protect their agendas, so they're going to run cover on all this stuff and protect Hillary, protect, you know, all the progressives in government so that they don't bear the brunt and the responsibility, God forbid, the EPA. And for her to come in and say, oh, I'm going to fire, you know, the chair of the EPA. Are you kidding me? I mean, the problem is more systemic, Tom, you know, than that.
Oh, no, absolutely. It is the government gone wild. And we've seen it in many agencies, but the EPA. And again, to your earlier point, EPA is not really concerned about doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're failing on water, yet they want to expand their mandate to the to attack power plants and address climate change by cracking down on greenhouse gas emissions. So they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, but what do they want? More power. And that's exactly what Clinton, Mrs. Clinton, or Mr. Sanders would do.
Well, this is the Peter Principle on steroids, Tom. I mean, years ago, we read about the Peter Principle, how people would fail up. And that's been the story of our government bureaucracy, is that we continue to get the wrong results and we reward them. Is it any wonder that we get more of the same? Because they figure, hey, either the people are so stupid or somehow they just figure, well, we're just going to keep on, you know, we're going to keep on keeping on until somebody finally says enough and pulls the plug.
No, exactly. And this is what's wrong with, you know, government. That's why we need a much smaller and more nimble and more government locally rather than nationally, because we're just wasting our tax dollars and they can't fundamentally execute on what they're supposed to be doing, but yet they want more power. Go figure.
Exactly. Well, Tom, in your recent article, you brought up something that I was extremely concerned about right at the get-go with the passing of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. You know, what's going to happen now with the EPA? We just had a major judgment come down, and then it all of a sudden put back to question what was already decided regarding the EPA.
No, exactly. Justice Scalia was on the bench, and sadly he did pass away. They blocked the EPA Clean Power Plan rule, which is a rule that targets power plants for greenhouse gas emissions. So they blocked it. So now that rule is not in effect until it could be argued at a lower court. depending on what the lower court happens, it'll probably get bumped up to the Supreme Court anyway. But again, sadly, Mr. Scalia is no longer there. So this is why this election coming up is so important, because there's not only going to be Scalia's replacement with the Supreme Court, perhaps one or two others, and also with the wrong candidate at the top of the GOP field, we could possibly lose the Senate, which means
you could
get Clinton and then lose the Senate, and then Dick Durbin, I think, would be running the Senate. Who knows what they who they put on the Supreme Court?
Exactly. Well, relevant to the EPA again, Tom, so that people understand what had happened here, is that when Judge Scalia was on the court, they had stopped proceedings with the EPA and basically just said, okay, we're not going to, in years past in other judgments, whenever they've stopped, the body, the people who were the defendants, had to pay up right away. But right now, even that has been stayed. But now that's in question, right?
No, absolutely. They blocked. They said you cannot proceed with this Clean Power Plan rule, which was hugely important, and it was unprecedented for the Supreme Court to step in. But that just shows you how significant of a problem this EPA rule is, because they, you know, they had the existing law, and what they did is they created a regulation that they really don't have the power to do. And the Supreme Court felt that it was so bad that they had to step in and block the whole rule. So this is, you know, very significant, and, you know, buys, you know, it's actually going to save the American people, you know, a lot of money and effort if this rule continues to be blocked. But now with the Supreme Court up in the air, we don't know what's going to happen in the future.
How much time do we have on this, Tom?
Well, the ruling is going to be argued in June at the lower court, at the D.C. Circuit. They're going to argue and hear the case about the EPA's overreach with the Clean Power Plan. Then depending on that decision, it'll probably eventually go to the Supreme Court. But it's certainly going to go into next year, and certainly going into a new administration. That's why all your listeners need to figure out who they're going to vote for and get active, because we need a conservative running the country.
Yeah, without a doubt. Tom Borelli has been with us. Tom, thank you so much, as always, for keeping us up to date on what is going on here with the EPA, particularly. Tom is a contributor with the Conservative Review, an authority on energy policy and crony capitalism. Tom Borelli, I'm Bill Martinez Live. It is 19 before the top of the hour, America. This is Bill Martinez. We've got more coming up. Stay right where you are.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Hi, I'm Jen London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common-sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
I love the colorful clothes you wear.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Kind of amazing, you know, you think of the harmonies of the Beach Boys. Boy, you just love that music and you can't help but smile. Good times. Bill Martinez back with you at 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Chuck Baker is with us right now, an award-winning journalist who is also a Purple Heart Army veteran of the Vietnam War. Has written several books on varied topics, but has recently produced a documentary entitled Veterans, a Motion Picture. Chuck Baker, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thanks. Good morning. Thanks for interviewing me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I want to talk about this most important topic. First of all, thank you for your service. You're talking with somebody who is a veteran. Four members of my family, including my father and my brothers, and my two brothers, a career Air Force Air Forceman, my brother who was a in the Army, who was a field radio operator in the Army, went in country. My oldest brother, that I mentioned, the Air Force, and myself, we were fortunate enough to stay out of Vietnam directly. We were Vietnam era veterans. I served stateside at Camp Pendleton because of my background in broadcasting. I did Good Morning Camp Pendleton and did radio and TV there. But my brother was on the front line. And so my heart, all that to say, my heart is very passionate towards veterans, particularly Vietnam vets, who I believe have been so maligned and misunderstood. And I don't know what it's going to take, Chuck, to kind of, get beyond the ill will that and the damage that was done in the early years. I wish there was some way, some wand we could wave over the Vietnam veterans particularly. And I know some of that negativity continues with the current group of military people, but it's only because I believe that there's so small a number that go to put their lives on the line for the sake of freedom for our country. When you talk about less than maybe 3-4%, it's no wonder that they misunderstand what the military is all about.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of answers. A lot of comments to the things you just mentioned. I think, for one thing, the appreciation of veterans is at a modern day all time high. Actually, there are so many veterans groups, so many other organizations that raise money for veterans and for veterans causes. The VA, which is not doing the greatest job, but at least it's out in the open that they need to improve, and people are behind improving the VA. So I think that compared to when the Vietnam vets, in particular, when they came home from the service, most of us know the negativity that they faced and the things that happened to them, things were said about them and to them. I think a lot of that has gone by the wayside. But what you mentioned about the small percentage of people has to do with the fact that we ended the draft. And, you know, even though those of us who were drafted, myself included, at the time we were drafted, we felt, you know, what an intrusion in our lives. We were going to school or working or raising families, whatever the case, and all of a sudden we had to go away for 2 years and do things we didn't want to do necessarily and whatever. And looking back at it, though, I think the draft was a really great thing for this country. I think it taught a lot of people responsibility, told them how to get the job done, how to follow through, how not to say no, but just keep going and get the job done that you were assigned to do. So I think the draft was great, even in peacetime. Mm-hmm. So at the time, because of Vietnam, everybody said, let's end the draft, and it was a popular thing. But looking back, I just think we ought to reinstate the draft. And, of course, it's been in the news lately about having women in the draft. And I think we ought to draft women as well. I think it would do a great thing for our country and for the nation, for the people, for the public, for Congress. I mean, we got so many elected officials now who've never served in the military, and that's not good either. They, no matter how good they try and what kind of legislation they pass or try to pass, if they haven't been there, they really can't come up with, you know, they really can't know what it's all about unless they've been there.
Well, to me, how do you have somebody in, for example, a commander-in-chief that hasn't served in the military, and now they're the commander-in-chief? I mean, wait a minute. You know, this isn't the kind of job you can do OJT on. And, you know, you've got to have some kind of awareness or be really skilled in leadership in order to manage the military at this level.
Well, I agree. You know, I think a lot of people that I speak with have brought up the fact that Franklin Roosevelt, of course, our only four-term president, never served in the military. And of course, he was largely responsible for directing the success we had in World War II. But actually, you know, he was Under Secretary of the Navy for a few years, so he definitely had he had dipped his toe in the military just a little bit, and he'd had a lot of political experience as well. So it's not exactly true to say that he didn't have any military. But yeah, you're right. You know, it's not to say that, you know, there are probably some individuals out there, men and women, who didn't serve, who might make great military commanders, maybe. But for the most part, I agree with you. It would be great if our commander-in-chief had some military experience, even if it was National Guard or Reserve or something, to let him or her know that this is how it works and this is what has to be done. And it's difficult. I think I'm not talking about our current commander-in-chief. I'm not going to say anything about anything else except the fact that I think he doesn't fully understand the military because of the fact that he wasn't in the military. And not to take away anything else or talk about anything else, pro or con, just talking about his lack of military experience. I think it would have served him well had he been in the military.
Served him and us well. And that's the point of all this, is that experience defines preference. We take a look at the experience that we've endured with past presidents. And when we have a president who understands the military, who's been in the military, it goes a little bit better, especially in terms of timing. Because if all of a sudden you find yourself and you need a wartime president and you don't have a wartime president, you are in trouble. You're in trouble and you find yourself lacking. And this is where I feel this country has found itself. And not to belabor the subject any more than we already have. But I just think, again, we the people need to wise up and understand who we're putting as commander in chief here. Especially in light of how vulnerable our country has become by way of national security. It's an economic situation, I understand. It's a immigration situation. It's a national security issue. And those tentacles go into the military, and we need to be aware of that. But going back to your earlier statement, Chuck, about everybody having skin in the game, I believe that as citizens of the United States, we all should dedicate 2 years, at least 2 years, of military service at whatever level. I don't care if it's the Peace Corps, whatever. Go out there and serve for 2 years. Go give it yourself and be a part of the solution of what's going on. I think it would go a long way to building a stronger backbone and foundation for our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I certainly agree. It's of course the Peace Corps not exactly military service, but it's certainly government service. And government service at any level where you have certain responsibilities and you have things that must be done and deadlines to be met, and you've got other people depending on what you do or don't do, whatever. And
exactly.
I definitely think that, I totally agree. I don't know if we can ever get that going. That might be a cause. I'm going to talk to some people I know who are involved with activism and pro-government activism pro-patriot activism.
Well, whatever I can do to help you out. Now, let's talk about your movie, Veterans, a Motion Picture. Time to destigmatize negative perception of veterans. Why the movie, Chuck?
Well, I'm in the media, and I'm a Vietnam vet and Purple Heart veteran combat. And over many years, I see that the major media in particular, whenever something comes up about a veteran being arrested or having difficulty or this, that, or the other, the first thing that the editors stick into the story is, they must have PTSD. All these veterans coming back, they got PTSD. You can't hire them. They're mentally deficient. They're this or that. You can't trust them. And, of course, I realized that, first of all, only a small percentage of veterans come back with PTSD, and many of those who do are able to overcome that as they get medical help or psychological help, whatever. So I went out and at the time that I started the project, I was doing a TV show here in Las Vegas where I'm based, and it was a veteran show, and I had been interviewing veterans, and I realized that these people I spoke with, they came back from various wars, they got jobs, they had careers, they started businesses, they went to college, they started families, and so I took a lot of those interviews as the basis for what I did, and then I went out and interviewed other veterans and researched other veterans and put together a documentary called Veterans Motion Picture. And what it does is it serves to destigmatize the fact that that all of our veterans have some kind of mental deficiency or whatever. And again, I say in the film, I don't mean to demean the veterans who do have PTSD. They serve their country, and they need
exactly.
Respect.
Well, we're out of time, Chuck. Go to veteransreporter.com for more information. That's a wrap for us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Winter. Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's bug out bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. Be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks. you will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer. Your emergency preparedness solution to the cold. Your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter RADIO. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.